One of the easiest ways to identify a true follower of Jesus Christ is how compassionately that person treats other people. The Savior's message is clear. His true disciples build, lift, encourage, persuade, and inspire. No matter how difficult the situation, true disciples of Jesus Christ are peacemakers.
Hello, this is Mackenzie Hansen from the University of Utah Institute of Religion. This is the podcast series entitled Peacemakers Needed. During this episode, we will be discussing finding peace in young adults and their relationships with their parents. I'm joined today by Brother Michael Moore. He's one of our institute teachers. Thank you so much for being here with us.
Thanks, Mackenzie.
So introduce us to you a little bit.
Like you said, my name's Mike Moore. I'm originally from this area. I grew up just south of the University of Utah, mouth of Mill Creek Canyon, and taught seminary actually for 7 years at Alta High School before my family and I, we moved up to Salem, Oregon, where I worked for church education for seminaries and institutes in different capacities for 16 years, raised our family there, had a great experience. And 4 years ago, they asked us to come to the University of Utah. And so I've been here for 4 years.
Wow, that is such an experience. I didn't even know they had positions outside of Utah for seminary.
It's different than it would be in Utah.
Yeah.
That it's all early morning. Mostly early morning.
Yeah.
There's a handful of release time programs. My job consisted a lot of it of working with called teachers, coordinators. That's the paid position.
Yeah.
Where you're paid to train the called teachers and teaching institute.
So. Wow. So you know the ins and outs of all the things, institute and seminary, and your children sound like the real champs for having to do early morning seminary. So.
They were champs about it. They had great attitudes.
Oh, that's awesome. That's so cool. So remind me, how many children do you have?
We have 4 kids. My oldest son lives in Arkansas. He and his wife have 1 little boy, mm-hmm. and then a daughter who's a sophomore at a school just south of here in Provo that will remain unnamed, a daughter who's 20 on a mission in San Jose, California, and a daughter who's 16 who's in high school still.
Awesome. That's great. They're kind of all in different stages in life right now.
Absolutely.
Very much.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. So we're talking about families and being young adults. You've got 3 that are all kind of in that young adult range. How is your relationship with each of them? And I mean, because they're in different stages.
Right.
What does that look like right now?
Well, my biggest concern is that I'll still have a good relationship with them after this podcast. And so I'm trying to think like, all right, don't say anything that will humiliate or embarrass them, expose them, which I think they would say I'm not very good at not doing those things. So I feel like I have a good relationship with all of them. You know, they are at different phases in life. And I like to think I have I guess you'd have to ask them, but I'm at least under the illusion we have a really good relationship.
That's great. Has it evolved throughout? I mean, they were once teenagers, so I'm sure they had some phases there. But how has your relationship evolved with your children from the time they were in diapers till now?
It's interesting as a parent to watch, you know, the transformation that from a time when you totally have to take care of them. Mm-hmm. And then you begin to realize that you have to help them prepare to go out into the world. I remember one time my oldest, I don't even know what we were talking about, but he was frustrated and he said, "Dad, I just want to be independent." And I laughed and said, "Oh, buddy, we have the same goal. We just have different methods of how we're going to get you there." Because, and we were, to be fair, I'm sure we were thinking differently. Like he was thinking, I want you to just let me be and let me make my choices. And I was thinking, I don't want to pay for you for the rest of my life. And so let's make sure we're giving you the skills to be an independent, happy, contributing member of society. You know, just really normal feelings he was having as a teenager. But, you know, that was new. When he was 7, he was dependent and happy to be, you know, dependent and taken care of. And then, you know, as they become a young single adult, that's what I noticed. For me, the transition was difficult, that I was, you know, I was still very much with my younger kids and in the mode of, all right, I need to make sure you're developing the life skills to go and be an adult. You know, as he became an adult, I was very often still treating him like a teenager because that's what I was used to treating him like, and that's what I was treating my daughters like. And so, yeah, that was a challenging transition.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure, like, not only for you as a parent, but for them as well, you know, as they're trying to spread their wings and things like that. I've definitely been there. I feel like as a young adult right now in life, I was living with a roommate for a while, loved the independence. It was so great. And I could go see my family whenever I wanted, chat with my parents, kind of like on my time schedule, right? Recently, I moved back home, and I've been helping my family out with a couple things. And so it's been so good being home. But coming back underneath the roof and having to, like, coordinate my schedule with their schedule and, like, the things that are important to me and the things that are important to them, it totally changed the dynamic of our relationship currently. So there's been, like, some struggles there. And I think for the students at the University of Utah, I mean, there's a lot of us that live at home. There's a lot of us that live with roommates here close to the U. So we kind of have a few different dynamics of being away from our family or still with them. I'm sure as all families do, there's contention. There's times when things can get hard. But how have you seen with your children and also being able to interact with all the young adults at the Institute, ways that we can bring peace into those relationships?
I was reflecting about when I was a young single adult and I went away for school, and so I wasn't at home. And I'll add, I'm the youngest of eight boys, and my dad had already passed away. I think my mom was probably just exhausted, and so she didn't give too much feedback. And so I don't know if I experienced the same thing that I did with my oldest, right?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I'm the baby of the family. I think my mom had learned a lot, and she was, like I said, exhausted. So the question was, what advice maybe I'd give? Is that right?
Yeah, just like, how did you navigate those relationships with these young adults right now in this time of life?
Sometimes poorly and sometimes effectively. I wouldn't consider myself an expert. I would consider myself a student trying to learn this. Some things I have learned, though, is when your kids are younger, sometimes they really do, they don't know it, but they do things that are just dumb, right? They're just like, and I'm trying.
Been there, done that.
Right. Yeah. But I mean, you know, especially like when, you know, it could be as simple as a little kid putting their hand on a hot stove and you can be like, oh, no, you don't do that. Mm-hmm. And so you get really in this mode of like, oh, no, don't do that. Don't do that. I remember my wife and I talking about, you know, try to say yes as often as you can say no. And I don't know if I probably wasn't very good at it, but I knew the principle and I tried to remember it. But it's hard to get out of that phase when they become an adult. And you see them making choices that, you know, like, oh, I don't think that's going to bring them the maximum happiness. And I have years of a knee-jerk reaction of just telling them that's not a good choice. Mm-hmm. I used to tease my kids that when they were teenagers, I'd say, hey, don't do, you know, whatever. They would say, hey, we can't do that. And then I'd say, I tell you not to do something. And then you very calmly explain to me why what I say has no standing and is completely invalid. And I'd joke about it and would laugh about it mostly. But I'd still try to, you know, push back and be like, hey, you need to understand, you know, here are certain boundaries, right?
Yeah.
Like when my son on New Year's Eve, he comes in, it's freezing cold. And so what are you guys doing here? I thought you were at the steak dance. Oh, we're filling up water balloons. We're going to throw them. And I'm like, you can't do that. And he goes, oh, don't worry, Dad. It's fine. And I said, it's freezing outside. It's like 14 degrees. And he says, well, no, Dad, we're doing it inside the gym.
Even better.
Even better. I'm like, oh, this is going to, you know, cause problems on so many levels.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's appropriate. You push back and just say, hey, you know, there's some people whose feelings you're really going to hurt. Yeah. And I know it sounds fun, but, you know, here's some things to consider. And as a parent, too, you know, he's 16 years old, to say, hey, and if you decide to go through with this, you need to know.
These are the consequences.
Here's the consequences.
Yeah. Yeah.
But then as they get older, it really does. I didn't feel the sea change, but it was there.
Yeah.
And it's still there sometimes when I'm trying to fill out my boundaries and they're trying to determine their boundaries. And like any other human, there are times when I just, you know, I feel irritated.
Mm-hmm.
you know, as I looking at President Nelson's talk, there's just principles in there that just apply, right? For example, he said, I'm not talking about peace at any price. Mm-hmm. And to be fair, sometimes that is my default. That's not helpful either.
Yeah.
He says, I'm talking about treating others in ways that are consistent with keeping the covenant you make when you partake of the sacrament. You covenant to always remember the Savior. Mm-hmm. I don't believe the Savior ever acted out of irritation. I don't believe he ever reacted. And what I mean by that is, you know, just this visceral knee-jerk, mm-hmm. that's, you're being a buffoon, I'm going to fix this. You know, I don't think he ever went back to the 12 and you're like, wow, I totally overreacted today. I shouldn't have turned over all the tables in the temple.
Yeah. I don't feel like he ever, like, acted out of only emotion.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, it wasn't just those instant bursts.
Yeah.
Yeah, he never did that.
And thank you for sharing that, because I'm sure he felt
emotions,
you know.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I can't say he never felt frustration. I don't believe he acted out of frustration. Mm-hmm. I think he it probably was frustrating and sad. He always acted out of love. Mm-hmm. You know, I think of Doctrine and Covenants section 121 when it has that line, reproving betimes with sharpness when moved upon by the Holy Ghost. Mm-hmm. And if you really pick that verse apart, you know, reprove, correcting, that goes back to what I struggled with and still do with my adult children, is I want to correct them.
Yes, yeah.
But my relationship of necessity has changed, that they're not 16. Mm-hmm. Reproving betimes, which means in a timely manner, not every now and then, you know, we don't, you know, every now and then reprove someone. It's in a timely manner. Be wise about when you do it.
Mm-hmm. When the Spirit directs.
Yes, yeah. And always when the Spirit directs. And with sharpness, which I define as clarity, right? Mm-hmm. Get to the point. Don't beat around the bush. Make sure you're kind. Make sure you're clear. Make sure that you're moved upon by the Holy Ghost.
Yeah, I like that distinction, that it's not to poke, or it's not to point out something to them in a very harsh way. It's just to be clear when we're speaking with sharpness. And I think for another example of who does that well is President Oaks. President Oaks has always been able to speak very sharply.
Yeah.
And now the way people sometimes take him can be different, but the intent of his heart is to just speak clearly and to show love and to help people understand.
Yeah, I have never heard President Oaks speak out of anger.
Yes, yeah.
So.
Yeah, and the Savior was the same way. He spoke very clearly to help understand. I think that's a great parenting tool.
And so I try to do good at this, and I think very often I am good at it. And mm-hmm. I think it goes both ways, right? To my counsel to any young single adult would be, first of all, be patient with your parents. Like, recognize that this is a new experience for them, and as much as you don't like being corrected, neither do we, right? Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean we shouldn't get good at it, because we should. We should get good at it. But, you know, when a parent corrects and then you turn around and be like, I don't like when you do that, or stop doing that. Hopefully, as parents, we're humble enough to say, oh, thank you so much. Help me understand where you're coming from. But we don't always do that. We need to get better at it as parents, but it goes both ways. To go back to, again, this quote, remember the covenant you made, to always remember the Savior, and to be like, no, okay, not what do I want to do right now. What would how would the Savior have me respond? And sometimes be like, hey, Dad, can I just share with you how that makes me feel? Like, that's an invitation that I think would soften most dads' hearts.
Yeah. I feel like as a young adult, sometimes when we go into these conversations with our parents, and maybe they bring something up, or we're coming to them with something that we need to discuss, it can be a hard topic. Sometimes we can just immediately resort to the defense mode.
Yeah.
We kind of put up these blocks on both ends, the parents and the young adult. But I think I love what you said of just expressing, hey, Dad, can I talk to you? This is how I feel about this, or maybe how we talked about this last time, or how we're talking about this now. Like, wait, let's pull back. Let's talk about this. This is the way I'm feeling. How are you feeling? And really kind of addressing the intents of the heart, because I think any good parent and any good young adult is coming to the conversation wanting to figure things out and wanting to have peace. But I think Satan does a great job at interjecting within that meeting of making it contentious. And so if we can remember the covenant that we've made to follow Jesus Christ, to come to him, to always remember him, then we can channel that peace that he brings as the Prince of Peace. Something else that has kind of been on my mind as we've been talking, I've heard a lot of newer parents, some still within the young adult age group that I'm in, but also like some older parents as well. They've talked about how they love their children so much that they want to protect them from the hard things in life.
Oh, yeah.
And I've thought about that, and I'm like, you know, I don't totally agree with that, because the parents went through hard things. They had all experienced these challenges. Well, that helped them become who they are. And so preventing, going back to how you were talking about like correcting your children, you want to correct your children, but also you have to allow them to make mistakes. You have to allow them to go through challenges, because it will help them grow.
And you don't have a choice.
Yes, they're inevitable.
Of course you have this deep desire to protect them, but A, you can't protect them all the time, and B, it's not helpful all the time.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember taking my first son to kindergarten, just having this urge to just pick him up and run home so that he'd never get hurt.
And
thinking, but he won't have a good life if I don't let him. Mm-hmm. Each stage is so different, and figuring out, all right, how do I do this? And I don't know, because I don't really know fully, because my son John is so different from my daughter Zoe, who's so different from Grace, who's so different from Lucy. And that's going to be true for every family. And so really the key is going to come back to, I love this idea of the covenant you make to take the name of Christ upon you. And I have this image in my mind of like, all right, I'm sitting with maybe one of my daughters and maybe I'm concerned about something, but keeping in my mind, all right, if the Savior stood beside me, how would I respond in this situation? And I would hope that my children would do the same thing, to be like, you know what, Dad's being a little short-sighted, but how would the Savior ask me to talk, right? And sometimes it's natural to feel frustrated. It's actually one of my daughters always reminding me, like, Dad, we can't help how we feel. And I believe she's right, but we can choose how we respond. And, you know, and President Nelson addresses that, you know, in his talk, when he just says, you know, anger never persuades. Mm-hmm. Hostility builds no one. Contention never leads to inspired solutions. But then he does say, like, peacemaking is a choice.
Yeah.
Contention is a choice. So I may not be able to choose how I feel. And if I'm missing something, my kids can't necessarily choose how they feel. But each of us can choose how we respond. I think it was Stephen Covey who taught that between an action and a response, there's this space where there's agency, where there's a choice. How am I going to respond to this? And like anything else, if we can develop the muscle memory, the spiritual muscle memory, we're not always going to be good at it, but there are certain things we don't even have to think about anymore. We know how to, I don't have to think about how to manipulate a spoon to pick up cereal and get it to my mouth. I've learned how to do it, right? Years ago. I'm really good at it. But I think we can practice this skill too of, all right, I recognize how I'm feeling. How would the Savior have me respond? And let me respond that way. The Savior isn't going to always say be a pushover, but it's never going to be contentious. Mm-hmm. And if that is where I go, I already know, oh, all right, I did it wrong. I was angry. I did it wrong. I was not moved upon by the Holy Ghost.
Yeah, I feel like, you know, when we think of the Savior, we don't think of him as a pushover or someone who just let things go or just like people got away with things. He was very much strong, clear, sharp at times when he needed to be. Like, he took care of business.
Yeah.
But one of his greatest titles is that he is the Prince of Peace, that he holds that honor, that he really is the one that peace comes from. And I think it was a general authority had said at one point, the only feeling that cannot be replicated by Satan is peace. That stems, you will know it's from God, it's from Jesus Christ, if it's peace.
He is the Prince of Peace, isn't he?
Yeah, and that's so comforting to know. And there was a line that came back to my mind as you were talking about, in these moments, to choose to do what the Savior would. And President Nelson had just said, one of the best ways we can honor the Savior is to become a peacemaker. I think Heavenly Father knows that not all of us come to earth as a peacemaker. That's something we do have to become. It is that choice. And so when we think of the Savior in these moments that can be hard, and as we're trying to navigate new boundaries with our parents, whether we're with them all the time or we only see them on occasion, but just entering those experiences trying to be a peacemaker, trying to honor the Savior, trying to also honor your parents as well. I think from a young adult standpoint, as you've been talking, that's just what keeps coming to me, is like to choose to honor the Savior and your parents and choose to come with that peace already. It could be a contentious experience. If it's something that's going to be really hard, just choose to start with the peace, and that will help you to become a peacemaker.
Yeah, I love that. As we look at every relationship, the same principle, but it applies here too, right? That President Nelson talks about building bridges of understanding. Yeah. No two people always see things exactly the same. So any young adult is going to think some of their parents' perspectives are at best a little off, or at worst just wrong, right?
Yeah.
And that's going to go both ways with the parents to the kids. But to also think, all right, there's one goal always. God has one goal, to bring to pass the immortality and eternal life of man. That's his goal. As I've been studying the Come Follow Me curriculum, I've seen that again, that as Paul answers tricky questions from saints in Corinth or wherever, like that's always how he responds, is, all right, well, what answer in this circumstance is going to be most likely to bring people to Christ? That's all that matters. And if that means that I stop eating meat, great. If that means I eat meat, great. But that's always the overriding goal. And so for young single adults, yeah, I hope that would be their goal, is, all right, what can I say today that's going to be the most likely to bless mom and dad to come closer to the Savior? And for the parents to have that same question, like, how can we build these bridges of understanding? And the reality is, for young single adults, your parents may both be active. They may be less active. They may not be members of the church. We all have our different struggles and our different challenges, and parents are no different. And what a blessing. I feel really blessed to have children who I know, they really love me. And I, if that sounds boastful, it's not. It's just gratitude. I love them so much. And to know that they love me back means a lot to me. And so, yeah, I want to build these bridges.
Oh, I love that so much. And I've loved this conversation today because I think it helps for us to know how to navigate such hard times. We have to figure out so much at such a young age for the rest of our lives. And we need our parents, and we need those trusted individuals in our lives that maybe, if they're not parents, but an older generation of individuals that can help and support us throughout our things. We need those relationships, and peace is the way to keep them healthy and strong. So before we finish, I would just love to ask you our final question.
Okay.
What's an example of a time when you have been a peacemaker? And how has the Savior helped you to be a peacemaker?
A time was with one of my kids. We were butting heads on the phone. They wanted to do something a certain way, and I wanted them to do it a different way. And at this point, they were adult, they were at college. And for the record, the issue was something of so little importance, it's embarrassing. But I just thought, why can't he just see that if he does it this way, he'll make people happy, and it's not that big of a deal? And his point was, if it's not that big of a deal, Dad, why are you making a big deal out of it? It got more heated than I would like it, and it ended uncomfortably. Mm-hmm. And I was really sad.
Yeah.
I just had the impression to call a colleague of mine who's also a marriage and family therapist, and I used to work really closely with him, so I'd always throw, like, what about this? You know, what's your advice on this? You know, my free counseling. And I said, what about this? And one thing he said that stuck with me, he says, this child of yours is an adult now. And so you have to treat them like an adult. You have to respect their agency to make choices. It seemed so obvious when he said it, right? That, yeah, I'd made a request. He had said no thank you. I just had to call him back up and just say, sorry, I'm learning how to do this. I think I've been clear with what I wanted. You don't want it. And I don't want that to determine our relationship, right?
Yeah.
And as I recall, you could just tell how much that meant to this child of mine. It was hard because I had years of being in charge and right. And just that simple advice. And I just feel like that was the spirit that had nudged me to call this friend of mine. Mm-hmm. And that he would give me the counsel I needed. I feel like it was the grace of Christ that gave me the strength to be humble and to do what needed to be done. to apologize and try a different way. Because for sure, the first way, you know, someone might say, no, you know, you still have a role as a parent. Put all that aside. I was clearly irritable. I had become contentious. And it was, we weren't yelling and screaming. It was just contentious. And that's not Christ's way. So I needed to repent and apologize and change. And I, it's through the grace of Christ, I think I was able to find my way there.
Thank you so much for sharing that. And I can tell peace was restored, right? It came.
For the time being.
Healed. Yeah, until something else came up. But I think you're right. It's an ongoing process, but that peace will always come.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Brother Moore, for sharing your testimony and all the advice today. We definitely needed it. And for those listening, we hope you were able to find some peace today. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
My dear brothers and sisters, how we treat each other really matters. How we speak to and about others, at home, at church, at work, and online, really matters. Today I'm asking us to interact with others in a higher, holier way.
This podcast series has been produced by students at the Institute at the University of Utah.
If you enjoyed this episode, please share it with a friend.
To direct others to this podcast, to listen to other episodes in this series, or to enroll in the Institute class associated with these podcasts, see our website at overcometheworld.podbeam.com.
This recording is not an official publication of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. The views expressed are those of the participants and are neither the official doctrine nor the official teachings of the church.